Manchester was the first industrial city and in some ways the first modern city. So I was interested in setting a festival up that in some way reflected that. So having a festival of firsts, festival of world premieres, seemed a good idea. And that, of course, attracted many artists who were looking for a home to create their new work, because often people shy from new work, and actually we welcome it and support it.
Give us some examples of people you've had previously at the festival. This is now its third incarnation, isn't it? Started
2007. Well, we launched in 2007 with a piece called Monkey, Journey to the West, which was created by the Gorillaz and Chen Shizheng, eminent Chinese director. Then in the 2009 festival, Punch Drunk with Adam Curtis created It Felt Like a Kiss, which was an amazing piece of immersive theatre that took people through this tunnelled area in Manchester. And it was really about how the ghosts, the political ghosts of the past, that we've seeds we've planted, you know, as a society, I guess, in the 60s and 70s, whether it's British politicians or American, have now come back to haunt us. And this was a kind of a reenactment of that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you've always done is work, I know, very closely with artists and sort of gone to them and talked about their vision for something and established quite long-lasting relationships. So this year, Damon Albarn from Gorillaz is coming back, isn't he, with a new work?
Exactly, yeah. I'm very keen to, you know, you get a lot more out of an artist and a much better relationship with an artist if, you know, if you have a better understanding of how they work and if they have a better understanding of what, you know, a festival can achieve. So we were delighted when Damon agreed to bring his next major project to Manchester, which will be called Dr. D. It's about the Elizabethan alchemist who was Queen Elizabeth I's confidant. He's the guy who coined the term British Empire and invented the navigational tools for us to have an empire. So he's a very significant figure. Where his demise happened was when he started to, having conquered the world, he looked up to the angels and thought he could communicate with them. And that was probably a step too far for the mere mortals on Earth.
And is it right to say, it's probably too early to say whether Damon will be appearing in a pointy wizard's hat himself?
I'm pretty sure he won't be, actually. but he is singing in it. That's quite a big step forward, because in Monkey, obviously, he was the composer, whereas with Dr. D, he will both be composing and singing in the piece as a musician, but not as an actor.
Other big names who, I guess, come, I suppose, from the world of pop include Bjork this year, and that sounds an incredibly exciting project.
Yeah, I've been trying to work with Bjork for probably about 11 years, and very remarkably, I was called by her management with this idea that she had. She basically, I mean, in a way, she's been waiting for the technology to catch up with the idea. The show is called Biophilia. In a way, it's the union of music, nature and science. And she has created the world's first app album. And for us, she's presenting the world premiere of this in residence in the festival. So it'll be performed 6 times across 3 weeks. One song's about gravity, and she's invented this instrument called the pendulum, which she's had built, which is a 30-foot instrument that sits on the stage and that is played. You know, it's part of the musical fabric. So there are these visual realizations of the songs in instruments, but also in the words. You know, on the app, you can play games on it. You can find out about aspects of the music, so there's an educational side to it. So really, she couldn't really do this project. It was an unfulfilled project until Apple came up with the app idea, and now she's been able to realise it.
To what extent do artists come to you with fully formed ideas? I mean, that sounds like it's a pretty fully formed idea, and just present you with it. Presumably sometimes you're also in dialogue and you're discussing, and it's your parlance is a more creative one.
That was very much fully formed. Our main contribution to the idea was that we encouraged, in fact, there was very little encouragement required, but we suggested we could have a whole education program. One of the ideas of wanting to do Biophilia is to re-enchant people with the processes behind learning about music. You know, I think she's often found that at schools it can be a little academic and dry, and she thought this would be a much more interactive way. And so we said, well, look, why don't we actually do that? You know, the festival has an area called MIF Creative where we encourage education of all ages, and so we're doing workshops for school kids of around 14 to 16 for the middle week while she's there. But as you say, it was very much a fully formed idea. For example, Dr. D, this was, you know, I went to Damon with that character, and by coincidence, or maybe not coincidence, but this area of work, something that's been inspiring him most of his musical life. I mean, I think The Good, the Bad and the Queen comes from that sense of Englishness, that sense of loss. So it varies. But one thing's always consistent is that we're very much an artist-led festival. So, you know, we take the lead from them.
You say that, but you also touched on the educational aspects to it. Tell me a bit about another musical performer who's perhaps in a slightly different world from Bjork, but Victoria Wood, who's staging a new thing with you.
Yeah, Victoria Wood. I met Victoria about 18 months ago for the first time, and I asked her if she'd write a work for us. And she said she'd seen this documentary about these school children in the late 20s who were the Manchester Children's Choir, and they'd sung and recorded Nymphs and Shepherds, which apparently in 1929 was a huge hit. It sold thousands and thousands of 78s. And to commemorate it, I think either the BBC or Granada made a documentary 40, 50 years later. And that's the documentary that Victoria saw. And so she wanted to create a piece that was and write and direct a theatrical piece, which is a bit a cross between a play and a musical, which would be both looking at those children who had learned to sing. They were from quite a deprived background and they'd had this opportunity, singing lessons for a year, but where they have the world all in front of them, you know, everything is still possible. And then 40, 50 years later, when they've reached middle age, and to tell their story and what did happen. And I think for some, you know, there was a life that maybe was missed, and others maybe not, but we'll find out. What attracted her to us in a way was I said, well, look, you know, we have this MIF creative area in the festival. We would be delighted if you didn't mind that to actually train 100 kids over a year with top professionals to sing. And we'd like to go into an area of Manchester that could do with more opportunities and do that. And I think in the end, that's what was the clincher for her, because obviously she's an artist in huge demand. You know, she just wrote the Eric and Ernie thing for BBC, which I think had 11 million viewers or something. So we've been to rehearsals together, Victoria and I, and, you know, those kids will be in the show. You know, I always used to shy a bit from, you know, education performances, because they always seemed, you know, like the means justified the end. Whereas here, you know, you've got major talent. We've got credible creative team around her with wonderful cast that we're just casting now. And at the core of it, you've got these 100 kids who will be singing at five or six spots within the actual show. So they're a major part of it.
I think it's important to talk about the fact that it's not simply music, but the three things we talked about are rooted in music. Tell me quickly about the Vertical Farm, because that's something very much not music, but it's also rooted in Manchester, and it's another really novel project.
Yeah, Manchester's history is riddled with kind of radicalness as well. You know, whether it's the suffragettes or workers' rights, you know, the first nuclear-free city, you know, it's always had an independent mind in a way. And in the first festival, we addressed that through our interest and our wanting to reveal the whole notion that there are more slaves in the present day than there were when it was abolished. And Manchester actually was part of the movement that did abolish slavery. And so in 07, we had a whole symposium on that. Last festival, as you probably know, we worked with The Guardian on the Manchester Report, which was looking at how people could contribute positive ideas to reverse climate change. And this festival, really, we're starting a project which will culminate in the 2013 festival. We want to build the first vertical farm. There's a race on between us and Chicago. We'll see who gets there first. It actually doesn't matter who gets there first. The important thing is that we've got Dixon Despommier, who's one of the world experts on vertical farms, and he's going to come and give a lecture at the festival this summer. And we have found a site which he will be looking at, which is a disused 10-storey office block in within Shaw. It's a part of Manchester. You know, it's not the most beautiful disused block, but we want to transform it into a working farm. We hope we can make it a carbon neutral project. The food that we're going to use in our cafeteria in 2013, all of the produce should come from it. The community will be working with us to turn it into this working, functioning farm. You know, it's use cutting edge technology like hydroponics and, you know, solar powered energy with there's these kind of reflective mirrors that put the light, reflect the light into the building. So there's all kinds of technology that we're working with to create this new thing.
And in terms of physical spaces, I mean, there's obviously a huge theatrical element to the programme as well. What would you say is the other most ambitious thing you're trying to do in that respect?
Well, there's if I could just talk about maybe two. One is the life and death of Marina Abramović. For those who don't know, Marina Abramović is the grand dame of performance art. Bob Wilson, one of the great theatre directors, is going to stage her life works and her death as a dramatic portrayal of her death, not a real one, obviously. We're delighted that Anthony of Anthony the Johnsons is going to write and perform the music, or a large part of the music in that performance, and Willem Dafoe is joining the cast as the narrator. So that's a major new theatrical event, but it comes from the kind of more radical theatre direction with Bob's work, with Anthony obviously the music, and this kind of reinterpretation of performance art. The other is a wonderful and imaginative theatre group called Punch Drunk. Many of your listeners will know that they are the, you know, probably the forefront group of immersive theatre. Up until now, they've done shows particularly, specifically for adults, and we were interested in doing something specifically for children. So The Crash of the Elysium is their work, and if they get their way, it will be only for children. So, for example, you know, reviewers will have to find 6 to 12-year-olds to send in to review it, and parents will come to Manchester or come down the road, wherever they live, and drop their kids off there to have, I think, what will be one of the most amazing experiences of their lives, and at times quite scary, I think.
There's a load of other things we could talk about, ranging from Snoop Dogg presenting the first UK performance of Doggy Style, that album. There's Sinead O'Connor also appearing, Lavinia Greenlaw, Ricky Lee Jones, Johnny Vegas. He's also doing a new theatre piece, is that right?
Yeah, he is. He hasn't worked out what he's doing yet, although I believe he has, and he's just not telling us. But he's doing something in our Pavilion Theatre, which is part of our home. We've created this whole festival square where, you know, you can go and eat, drink, have a good time. We try not to segregate our artists from the audiences, so everyone's invited to come along there. But we build this theatre on that square every 2 years. It's a 450 capacity theatre, and Johnny will be performing there, 8 performances there.
We're talking now, it's the middle of March. The festival kicks off on the 30th of June and runs to the 17th of July. All done, dusted, or is it now the most terrifying part?
Well, some of the shows have been in development for 4 years, like the Marina Abramović production. Others, we've only really started on them maybe 6 months ago. What all of them are doing now is that between now and the end of June, they're all gearing up. And, you know, we move from having maybe 50 people working with us up until the end of last year to having several hundred are now engaged, whether they're creative teams, technical teams. And, you know, we've got at least 20 new world premieres. So the pressure's on now.
And presumably, though, that means you've also got plans for 2013 bubbling away in the back of your mind somewhere.
Absolutely. I've already commissioned about 6 works now for 2013.
Alex Poots from the Manchester International Festival, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.